Hello and welcome to the 11th Manx Footy Pod of the 2019-20 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by Corinthians pair Blaine Slattery and Stuart Smith. Right, guys, welcome to Podcast HQ. Blaine, you're just saying it's not quite how you imagined in your head, wasn't it? Have you been listening in the past?
No, I've always wondered what the inner sanctum of the podcast would look like, and it wasn't quite like this.
No, for good or bad.
There's a little museum going on in the corner.
Yeah. That's blackboard. That's Dave's. He's hoping these, like, you know, things, if you keep them long enough, they value. Yeah. These old Dell computers, one day they're going to be at least worth about 10 quid.
10 quid, hopefully, yeah.
They're probably worth more in sheer weight than they are in actual money. But yeah, thanks for coming in, lads. We're going to here to discuss the White's Railway Cup chances, of course, but of course the season as a whole. But before we do that, as always, we start off with the biscuits.
And it's not just biscuits today, it's tea cakes as well.
Yeah, the lads, you've been very kind bringing in the tea cakes, lads. Very nice of you. Thanks, Blaine.
I'm partial to a tea cake. Reminds me of my childhood.
Oh, okay.
Let's crack a move.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, yeah, I grew up in Scotland, you see, so I didn't move to that man until I was seven.
Born there, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. It's a running joke about me being Scottish, which I'm not. But, I just seen them in the shop last night, and I thought, I haven't had one of them in a while, and I do love them.
So where do they class, as you said? Is it a biscuit? Is it a specific tea cake category to itself?
I think it might be, you know. I think... they're too big to be a biscuit, aren't they?
Yeah, how do you eat them? Now, there's the various different...
Yeah, I'm just straight in.
Whacking straight in. Stewie's got the kid. Like, I remember as a kid having these and trying to pick all the chocolate off and then having the marshmallows. And it just, it ended up an absolute mess with me. But yeah, no, it's my mother-in-law's Scottish and she loves the tea cakes. So
they
are
a winner. Tunnock's tea cakes for them.
Just as good as I remember, to be honest. I thought they'd change the recipe or something, but...
Are they a bit more squidgier than they used to be?
They feel it. But yeah, I thought they would have gone hard because they'd been in my car overnight.
They've still got the biscuit base, so I think they do qualify just about as a nice red wallace.
Right, we'll kick off with the football then. Blaine, you took over the role of first team manager in October. Have you found the step up, so to speak? You know, you were a combi manager before.
Yeah.
Obviously, Danny moved off the island and you've stepped into the breach, as it were. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it's enjoying. It's a lot more. What I have realised is it's a lot more. A lot more to do. When you're the combi manager, it's kind of here, you've got them these week, I'm taking these. Yep. You don't really have to think about anything, it's just everything you have to think about is on a Saturday.
Yeah,
because you have no real control over what the first team, who's going to be in, who's not, the injuries, the suspensions. You just get what you're given and you get on with it. So now I'm finding myself thinking about the next game on a Saturday night, whereas I used to think that game's done, these players have done well, I'll tell Danny about.
Yeah.
Who's done well, who hasn't done well, what I think, who should get a chance. And then, but now I'm thinking, right, what do we do next week? So it's just a lot more thought goes into it, I think, than what I'm used to. But
you've got a big team up there, haven't you? We've talked about it, but you've got the Brains Trust, you know, you've got Julian, Ben, Burnsy now, and then plus the massive committee behind you. It's a really well run club. So that must take a bit of the pressure off your shoulders, doesn't it?
It does in terms of training, because I am not a coach. I haven't got the patience. I haven't got when it comes to like a training. We have on Thursday we had 28 a training.
Wowzers!
And that was without Cameron Lee, Tom Smith, Connor Gorman. Mm. I was missing four or five first team players as well. So it's daunting, and it's lucky that Ben does it for a living and. Mm. Burns, he's been doing it for 20 odd years or however long he's done it, because without them, I'd just be.
Since he was a nappy.
I feel like so obviously I muck in and I help out, but I'm just looking around thinking, what is going on? There's so much, like a Vietnam flashback. Just like, I can't deal with it. And then on days like today when it's raining and it's freezing, like, gotta get these lads going. So they mainly help on with the training side of it, the organisation side. Obviously, they're two highly qualified coaches as well, so they help me out a lot when it comes to, I'm thinking about doing this, what do you think? Mm. They're just supportive, really supportive with it. So, yeah, and they, like I say, the committee can't do enough for the club, really.
Point of combi manager.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of an issue at the moment. But
we'll come on to that then, Stu, because obviously Blaine's moved up into the hot seat in the first team. I mean, Stu, you've tapped in, as I'm reliably informed, interim combi manager.
Yeah, I did it for a week. 9 weeks ago, and still going on.
But Blaine's had to call up, you know, you into the first team the last couple of weeks. How have you managed that? You're trying to manage a team and play in the first team at the same time.
It helps that I was able to tell him how well I've been playing every week. That centre back was doing really well. I should think about him. But no, again, because of the committee so big, so many people helping out. Ed Walter's been a really good help the last few weeks, coming in and helping out with the combi. But it's just, as Blaine said, there's so many players that it's hard to get the 14 down for the combi, and you know you're going to upset a few people who are there with the trainings and stuff. So once you do that, I just pick the 14. I'll leave it to Ed to upset anyone there the last few weeks. But no, it's but then the hardest bit's just stuff like warm-ups and that. I've never done anything like that. It's just, especially when you're trying to play yourself as well, trying to keep an eye on the time whilst trying to warm up. It's difficult, but we've been winning, so it's okay.
Well, I was going to ask you both, actually, because you both, well, you're still playing, Stu, and Blaine, you were playing last season, and you know, I think, have you played a bit this season? Or,
no, nothing. Can't do that anymore.
But, how have you found the transition from going from sort of one of the lads to actually then the one that's telling them to, you know, pull their finger out?
Yeah.
Or switch that?
I think I've always had a bit of wanting to be a manager in me. Like, I've always liked thinking that I'm right. You know, it's just, he's not doing that properly, I can do it. Or, actually, I've got a bit of a reputation for being a bit of a moaner. It's probably an understatement for anyone that's ever played with me. Yeah, just a bit. But, no, the transition's been okay for me. Like I said, I've had about 2 years, 2.5 years in the combi.
Yeah.
So, the only thing now is it's a bit different because I want the combi and the first team to be doing the same things. You know, even stuff like corners and stuff like that, and
just like
pieces.
Barcelona.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I wasn't expecting on Stewie to come in so soon, but he's come in and he should know exactly what to do in certain in certain bits because we're doing it the same. It's just the personnel changes. That's all. So really, dealing with it is just trying to keep all my players happy. That's the hardest part because I've got so many. Like I say, I reckon the average at training is 33.
Wowzers.
And we've got, a lot of them are kids, but the way Corinthians are set up from top to bottom, we're always going to have 16-year-olds coming through. As long as the model keeps working, there's going to be new kids coming through all the time. And it's just, and the amount of Ireland players, unfortunate to have in the first team as well, you have to just try and keep everyone happy, you have to try and fit everyone in. That's the hardest part. Someone's going to be disappointed.
Really. Now, how have you found it, Stu? Because obviously you're still playing. You know.
I thought it was going to be really difficult, a lot like worse than it is, but the lads in the combi have been really supportive. There's been quite a few experienced players in there who have been really helpful and help out, I'd say, like with the warm-ups and like half times and that. I think they all know it's not an ideal situation, but they've all walked in and really helped out, so it's been, there's been no issues at all doing it. I've actually really enjoyed it because of how much the players have helped out.
I was reliably informed by someone dressed as an Oompa Loompa on a night out a few weeks ago that the Corinthians were going to win the combi one time. I can neither confirm or deny that was Stu.
But Stu, you are winning. Is there any chance you'll want to take it on more than the interim? Or? Bearing in mind, this is going to be recorded.
I'm not saying anything. Yeah. Keep these discussions for the committee.
Blake, we've talked about this a little bit off the air at the moment, and you, before we started recording, we were on a marvellous 6-game winning run. That came to a halt on Saturday against St Mary's. I was there. It was a strange game. You guys started really well, and then St Mary's, I think I used the term, ground out the win. They weren't particularly impressive, but they got the goals before half time. It was 3-1, all goals scored in the first half, and that sort of killed the match, didn't it?
Yeah.
Have you learned much from that? Because obviously it's your first defeat under your tenure, as it were.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, it was disappointing. We want to try and win every game of football, but you have to be a bit of a realist. Not many teams go and win every single game of football. Something is going to happen, and it's about how the team, like this Saturday, will hopefully respond to it. But I think, I just think what happened on Saturday, like I said, they ground it out. They're a team that have. The league champions, you know, they're that for a reason. You don't, like they say, that cliche, like the table doesn't lie at the end of the season. And last year they won the league. And they know their strengths and they play to them. And I think, like I said, I've come in with a different formation from what Danny was doing, a couple of different ideas about how we want to play. And like I said, outside, just before we talked, I've been in the combi for 2 years, so I know nothing about any first team. You know, I'm turning up to games and I'm asking people, like, just for their opinions of what they've seen and what they know, but everyone's opinion's different. you know, that they all have a different. I could ask you two about one player, and you both say something different about them. So it's been a tough. It was a tough one to take. Going back to the original question on Saturday, it was a tough one to take. But like I said, after the game, I sat in the change room and I said the league isn't won and lost in December. Oh, it was November. Well, I can't remember what day it was, but it won't be won and lost now. And I said before the game that you don't win six on the bounce by accident. Like we are a good team, and I believe I do have really good players.
But you've beaten the teams around you in that six. It's not as if, no disrespect to some of the clubs in the Premier League, you've played lesser lights. You've beaten Laxey 6-0 quite comprehensively. I was at that game. You've beaten Rush and you've beaten Peel in that time. You know, at Peel as well, which is no easy feat. So you're there or thereabouts, aren't you? And is that the feeling in the club at the moment? That, you know, obviously we've got the Railway Cup to get out of the way. You're not quite there mathematically, but looking at the fixtures you've got left to play, if I can consult my infographic, you've got Royal, Paul Rose and Old Boys to play, and teams that you should be beating. And that will be that boxed off then. Is it then you can start thinking about the title, or is that sort of bubbling around in the background already?
Well, to be honest, to be completely honest, all I've been concentrating on is the league. You know, I think if you can do well in the league, everything else will kind of take care of itself.
Yeah.
You'll have the form when you go into the cups, and you'll get into the Railway Cup if you're doing well in the league. And so that's all I've really been thinking about is the league. I don't think, and like I said, I think everything else will just slot into place after that. I don't, I don't worry about too much other stuff, to be honest.
And as you said to Stu, as you said to Dave, and I'm sure one of Douglas's finest hotspots.
It certainly was,
The other week, the combi are going well at the moment as well. You know, and do you think that helps the first team? Because obviously there's competition for places, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. Like, what the boys in the combi are playing really well as well. Like, Tell and Blaine, most weeks, that bit three or four of them are doing really well, which I think Blaine's been saying it for years. When he took over the combi, that all he wanted to do was tell the first team manager, he's playing well, just to put the pressure on the first team players as well, so that they've got to keep their levels high, and that just helps out the whole club.
And how have you found getting back into the first team?
Difficult. Saturday was tough. Ball's a big pitch. Got a few late tackles put in on me as well. Somehow certain players didn't get booked. Not sure how. I'm still sore, I think, from Saturday, actually. That was a tough one. Just fitness, though, the main thing, I think, between some of the combi games. Because, I say, no disrespect to some of the teams in the combi, we're going out and winning 9-10-0.
Some of them teams struggling to get 11.
Exactly, I'm playing centre-back, and you don't have to do much, and then you come in the first team, and you stay top goal scorer in the league in the first game, and I just had to chase them around, really.
Obviously, you talk about the combi, 9 wins from 9, it's going brilliantly well. It's a shame that the game was called off last week, but this week, Geordie's, it's going to be, is it Geordie's this
Russian.
Week? Russian. It's going to be a tough one.
As I say, we had a few of the nicer fixtures, and then we had a tough game against Peel the other week, which we got through 2-0. That was the toughest game we'd had all year. That was a good win. And then I think Russian again will be a nice marker to see where we are. It's almost nice to get them out of the way before Marys to see where you are going into the game against Marys, because Marys are the team to beat. They won obviously the league and the Junior Cup last year, and was it 10 out of 10 again this year. So they're the team to beat, and they've scored about 100 goals already. So they'll be tough to beat, but full team, everyone fit,
Fancy your chances.
Before we move on to the raft of social media questions we've got for you, we're coming up to Christmas. Is it difficult to motivate the players this time of year, Blaine? Obviously, it gets a bit bitty, doesn't it? And we've got a game on the 28th, Dave told me, this week, which I forgot about. There's a game in between Christmas and New Year. And that, you'll have people away, you'll have people, family commitments. It's a tough period to slog it through, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You've got, obviously, Christmas parties at weekends and stuff like that. But my main message to the players was just, like, you'll get out of the season whatever you put into it. You know, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. It's not going to be easy to try and win the league. I'm not sure, but I don't think Corinthians have ever done it.
No.
So we've got the players to do it. I think we have a group of about 20 to 25 players that could play in pretty much any first team. You know, I'm picking 14 and I'm leaving the likes of Phil Kelly out. And leaving, like, Stewie wasn't getting in at the start. Like, Burnsy hasn't been involved, you know, because he's been suspended for a change. But, you know, like, I've got a massive group of players, and if someone wants to say to me, just hands up, for the team's sake, I'm going to be at my Christmas party next Friday, that's fine with me, but you won't be in the team on the Saturday. Because I've got enough players now. And I think a little thing is as well, because I've been in the combi so long, I know what the players in the combi can do.
Mm.
You know, and I have faith in them. Like, I don't... I try to keep it really simple. Like, as long as you can do your job, I'm not expecting miracles. You know, all I want is 90 minutes of graft. Just give me everything on a Saturday and hopefully we'll get what we deserve out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happened on Saturday against St Mary's was, I think we just got in our heads a little bit about it. We went 1-0 up and they scored, and then I think we just went, this, what's happening here? Like, this hasn't happened yet. Because I was saying to Burnsy and Ben before the game on Saturday that we hadn't gone down in a game yet.
Right.
Like, with me in charge, we haven't been 1-0 down, or we haven't been behind at all in six games. I think maybe Russian, possibly. I'm not sure. But I think we were ahead every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it'd be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
And then it kind of did happen. I think at half time, I just rammed home the point about, we've got nothing to lose here now. It's 3-1 at half time. Just go for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, even if we get a tanking, which I didn't think was going to happen.
No.
Because we are solid at the back. I was thinking, we've got to go for it. We've got a dying sword now. Let's just go and see what happens. So, over the Christmas period, if you're listening, you can go out, but tell me and you'll be dropped.
You heard it here first. Stu's looking worried.
Excellent plans, as we speak.
Right, we've had a raft of questions in for you guys, Dave, haven't we? Starting with one from a guest that was on one of the first podcasts.
Yeah, and also someone else that likes to wear an Umpa Lumper outfit on a night out. He was there with Stewie that night. Adam Watson asks you, Blaine, is there anyone in the club who struggles with their range of long passes?
Yeah, that's an aimed question at Mr. Smith. It's been a running joke between, well, obviously there's, for a while, me, Adam, Stewie, we've been playing together since we were about 16. And we played with each other all the way through. And then about 3 years ago, we were all taking Corinthians under 18s on a Sunday morning. And it's been a running joke for a while that Stewie struggles to pass the ball. 20 yards without a bounce him a couple of times before it gets there. It's a bit unfounded, but it's a good joke. He bites all the time.
Well, good centre-backs play out from the back now, Stewie. They don't need long balls, do they?
Issues, I can't do that bit either.
At least you're honest. He said, Adam adds, he says, Stu, great to see you finally stepped out of your brother's shadows and regularly start to play the first team. What have been the main factors behind this, and has your new strict vegan diet helped in any way?
It's not that strict.
You're having a tea.
A cup of tea with milk. I don't even think I can answer this question without just booting off about what. Yeah, to be fair, Greg's actually injured at the minute, so maybe that's the only reason I am playing for this team. Yeah, you never know. So,
I know, obviously, Adam's moving off Ireland, isn't he?
Yeah, he's gone now.
He went last night.
Yeah. So he's left St John's in a hole.
He left a week early because he didn't want to lose the air game. Wanted to get out before he got beat.
But he's done, joking aside, he's done a great job in Thomas this season. They're going to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season, you'd think.
Yeah, I think he's had a little bit of a blinder there playing. He's always looking for little ways to get in the opponent's head and all that kind of stuff. And I think, moving every game to a Friday night at home, I think he's up to a winner. No one wants to do it. He's made it some sort of
match.
Well, I think what happened was he said to Tony Meppen at the start of the season, I want every home game on a Friday. And I think there was something that you could only do a couple or three or four or something like that. But Meppen was like, okay, let's see what happens, and asked everyone. And I think everyone bar one came back and said, yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah.
But they're all used to playing on a Friday night every week. And now they're playing someone that does it once a year.
Yeah.
And he's winning at home, so... But that's just what a lot of
that's,
like.
That's great management.
Marginal gains.
Yeah. He'd be writing a book about that in years to come, really. He said, next question, Dave. One's still from Adam, isn't it? Next one.
Yeah, it's a question for both of you. He says that now that your games are being recorded each week by assistant manager Duan Watt, what do you take from these and how do you feed it back to the players?
Well, assistant manager Duan is not the assistant manager.
Video analyst.
But no, I think that came from a couple of the Ireland lads were getting a lot of stuff recorded for Ireland sessions and Ireland games and stuff like that. And I think Duan said, we can do it if you want to do it. And so all it's done now, I think it's recorded on a Saturday And then I think June does a lot of work in the background, actually just tagging bits of it. You know, for
he talks to his watch. Well, I was sat next. I was sat next to him on Saturday, and okay, I thought he was talking to himself. But it, when he threw Siri in at the end, I knew But it, there was a Stewie Smith tackle was tagged, so I don't know if that's been shown yet.
Well, it's all about like the players doing it themselves. So not, it's not as if we're all sitting in the change room watching each other's errors and stuff like that. So he uploads it, he tags it all. And then if you want to go on and have a look about how you did on a Saturday, you can. I think there's a couple of players that are using it. I think I've seen Josh Ridens is using it quite a bit. I think Conor Gorman looks at it quite a bit. I think he actually watches, I think I heard him say he watches a whole game on Sunday.
Really?
On Sunday after he's done it. Yeah. But it's just a facility that's there. If Dewan's happy to do it and someone gets something from it, then...
I suppose it would be good if you've come in and slightly changed the tactics and players' positionals. Positions have changed.
Yeah.
It'd be good for, you know, looking at where they maybe need to stand now or where they, the shape is for in certain stuff. Because, as I say, he was tagging his voice notes were quite cryptic, obviously, because he didn't want the Belser hearing over the fence or whatever. But there was the occasional, and I think it was a good challenge, Stu. It wasn't. It wasn't a
Van Dijk of Combi one, isn't it?
Yeah. Wasn't quite as good as Ronan's, and you know when he came in, that was a good. But he was. It was a good one. But yeah, no, it's interesting. It's interesting. It's quite easily done as well. It's just on a phone with a.
Yeah. It's nothing. Like I said, it's nothing special. It's just. I think it's just the time that June has to put into it. But he stepped back a bit on the coaching side this year. He's not doing as much now. He's had his kid and stuff like that. So. Like I say, if Dewan's happy to do it and the lads are actually using it, then...
I dread to watch it, to be honest. Yeah, I kind of think I know what I'm doing, but like, I think watching myself back would be horrendous.
I think I've seen it.
I would find out I can't kick it 20 yards.
I think I've seen myself once and I knew we were being recorded. It was about 2 years ago and it was down at Russian in a pre-season friendly. And I did something wrong and I was like, I know that's going to come up. And then Ben collared me about a week later and was like, right, I just want to show you something. And I was like, was it that? And he's like, yeah. And I was like,
did it play on your mind for the rest of the match?
No, I just, like, I think but I did it. You, I did it and I put my hands in the air and I was like,
yeah.
Like, I know. I think it just, I don't know if even any of the lads paying attention to it, to be fair. You know, like, thinking, oh, I'm being recorded, it's going to be there, anyone can see it.
Because, well, it's quite inconspicuous because he is only doing it on his phone, so it's not as if he's there with a big flipping camera and jump.
Or Paul Hatton.
Yeah. But what I would say, looking ahead to, say, the reverse, where you play St Mary's later in the season, would you look back at Saturday's game and think, oh, right, they gained a bit of change out of that, or maybe we looked good playing it wide, maybe it's that we need to keep just... going wide it and
I think for me personally I probably will, because like I said, my experience in the Premier League is pretty much zero. You know, I've been around for when the Combi haven't had a game and the first team are playing. I've gone and I used to help Danny out. I used to come down and try and see what was going on, but because like I said, I'm turning up to games blind. I'm turning up to Peel away and I know that they've got Reece, Gaylor, Simo, and I know what Simo can do, but I'm just saying, like, how do they play, what do they do, you know? So going forward, it'll be interesting for me to look at. It's a good resource to have.
Yeah.
And I don't think many other people are having it. But like I say, it's just another time thing, isn't it? Like, this is amateur footy at the end of the day. I'm already spending every waking hour that I'm not with my kids thinking about football. So. But we'll see.
All right, next question. He just adds all the best for the season. Is in for the man we've already mentioned, isn't it?
Yeah.
The original video analyst, Paul Hatton.
Paul Hatton, yeah. It's a question for both of you. He asks, what were your most and least memorable games for the club? So we'll start with you, Stewie.
Both of mine are probably junior cup finals. The most memorable one, we beat Peel. Six memorable, can't even remember the score. I think we just won, I know that. But it was just like, I think it wasn't the greatest game, but I played quite well. We won, had a decent night after it. And that's probably why I don't remember the score. But it was just great to win with a team that you knew that had a chance. We say every year, oh, we could do well in the junior cup. But we won it, and it was a really good... really good team. It's a good game. Yeah. Least memorable. Well, the one I'd like to be least memorable is last year's final. What was it? 4-1. I think all four goals were my fault. I say I'd like it to be the least memorable. Probably be my most memorable because the lads remind me about it on a regular basis about how funny it was.
Well, it's funny you say that, because on Saturday, like, a ball bounced and then you missed it, and I thought, he did that.
It was about the same place as well, wasn't it?
I was like, he got away with that. He didn't get away with that last time.
We'd be calling it Stewie's Corner.
Yeah.
What about you, Glenn?
I was trying to have a think about it because, like, when you sit back and you think about all the games you played, like, I'm not even that old and I didn't really play last year, but I've been playing senior football since I was 16, so it's 14 years of football, you know, trying to think of a game. And when I really thought about it, it was probably the first big game I remember playing in. was a Junior Cup final against Ayr down the bowl.
I remember that Friday night. Yeah, when absolutely peed it down.
Yeah, and it was still grass. And yeah, it was horrible.
Played in that as well.
Yeah, yeah. I got man of the match in that game. We won 1-0.
Sure.
So yeah, but, of course. Yeah. But no, I just and the one bit that really sticks out is I whipped the ball in for the cross, and I think Brett Armitage headed it, and I think it hit the bar and came back out, and we scored the rebound. And that's like,
was it Knight scored? Was it
I'm not sure.
Brett scored the rebound.
Yeah. So that's the one that really sticks out. And then, yeah, ones that you don't want to remember, like you say, last year. It was a bit of a double hit for me because I know there's a question coming up with it. But, like, we were short that day. We had the squad wasn't great. We had a couple of injuries, I think, some people missing. And we were playing Marys on the ball, and we knew that they were the best combi team out there, bar us. And I got convinced by a couple of lads to play. So I played myself as being manager, and then I had to take myself off. So I hadn't played. It was hot. It was a hot day, wasn't it?
It was very hot, yeah.
It was a hot day. I hadn't played properly all year, and I was just screaming at people, moaning. Because you can't manage and play. That's always been my it's always been my thing. People were saying last year.
It's not too bad when you don't whinge at everyone.
Yeah. You shouldn't manage and play, but.
But it must be really hard. And you see, like, Alex Harrison doing it to win the league last year in his second season, wasn't it? Because he took halfway over.
Yeah, yeah.
While playing centre back most of the time.
Yeah.
Do you think it's easier doing it centre back, Stu, because you can see everything in front of you? I suppose where in midfield, you're in the mix.
Yeah, I suppose it is, actually. Like you say, you do get to see a lot more from the back than you would do if you're in the middle, because just say turn around, try.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it is, yeah.
So there you go, another reason why you should take a job.
Just give it to the keeper then. Keep me do it.
Who's keeper at the moment in the combi? Are you looking for one?
Like three.
Oh. Yeah, we are the only. We have four keepers at training on the Tuesday and Thursday.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So we have, we have one of the young lads from under 18s. We have Alex Hillard, who's currently away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Quirker and Kenny, who's been playing in the combi recently.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's just a lot of.
It's the blame picks that he wants, and I've got it to take
it
down.
That's what I mean. Like, I've learned from last time where Danny used to tell me who to play, where I'm just like, you can have a bit of free reign. You can have a bit of
Next question's in from Callum Morrissey, who we should mention, actually.
Yes, big transfer news. Have you got wind of this, lads? Mm-hmm. So the spell at Kurt Michael, we believe, is the curtain has been drawn on that.
Yep.
Anonymous source, whose email just happened to be johnny.myers, has let us know that he's back at St George's.
Can't believe they let him back.
Yeah. So we'll be interested to see if he lines up on Saturday against Ramsey. Another reason I'll be there tweeting.
That's it. But he also scored twice for Onken in the Masters League on Sunday, Callum. So, you know, he's obviously still
there. Boots will play. He's nearly as many as clubs as Nigel Moody this season. Callum asks, Blaine, he says, ask him about when you won the FA Cup with St George's. So you were at Corinthians for a couple of seasons, then you went to Geordie's for...
Yeah, so... I think when I was about 18, 19, like a couple of my mates moved to uni and Corinthians weren't doing great, to be honest, at the time. So I thought, a bit selfishly, like, and I think all players should think about stuff like that as well, I thought.
Well, I was looking at a bit, sorry to cut across you, but I was looking at your team sheet on Saturday, but most of the lads had played for St Mary's.
Yeah.
You know, you had Danny, Darren, Connor, Steve Whitley, and they've all come back.
Yeah, yeah.
So, as you say, it's not the end of the world.
No, it's not. Like you say, it's not the end of the world. You should try different things, but none of my players leave this season, please.
Well, you've only got 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 31st of December, transfer window finally
slammed shut.
Yeah. Darren will probably fit in another two clubs before then.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, so you won the FA Cup, didn't you?
So I think the story of me actually getting in the squad is more, it's not more entertaining. I like the story, but I don't know how much. I did reply to Callum, do you want me to tell the story or not?
It was just to you flying face emojis. So
I don't, and if he's still playing, he doesn't want some sort of a FA ban coming his way. So I just.
You do that.
So I'll just.
You're conflicted here.
Yeah, I am conflicted. I think the story's a bit better, and I think I think I've taken a bit of what I learned from Chris Bass Senior into what I do now. Because I remember I'd been there a season and I had a couple of starts for the first team and then I was in and out and I was playing in the combi with the likes of, I think at the time it was Robin Bates and Michael McHale and Chris Feeney, So the combi wasn't really a combi. That team could have, really good players. And I remember the week before the FA Cup final, and we used to train down at St John's, and it was, I couldn't drive at the time, and it was lashing down, and the lad who normally gives me a lift was couldn't give me one. So I rang a senior, I was like, can I get a lift? Even Douglas, I need a lift to train. And he was like, oh no, sorry, I'm out west, I'm going straight there. He was like, give Nick a ring. Rang Nick. Nick's like, sorry, I can't make it. I can't get you. And I was like, I'm not going to get to training. I was like, jeez, he's going to be fuming. And then, so I messaged Bessie and I was like, look, I can't make it, I can't get there. I didn't get a reply. And then I managed somehow to blag my mum to give me a lift to training. So I went down there, I was lashing it down. And Bessie was like, oh, so you made it? I was like, yeah, I wrote my mum in, all that kind of stuff, made loads of effort to get there. And then on the first day, then he just named me in the squad for the final. And I hadn't played in the first team for a couple of weeks. And I was like, oh, what's happened here? He was just like, put the effort in, you know, to come to train and stuff like that. He made it.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously with the five subs and stuff like that, I thought, it's just a token, but it was nice, you know. Like, nice to see that he could, I actually made an effort to get there. And then, I don't know what happened, we got to the final. So it was down Castletown, it was.
Yeah.
And it was against Rushing. And after about 70 minutes, James McStay got injured. And he was like, Blaine? I was like, what? I did not think I was getting on at all. A couple of lads come down because I told them I was playing in the FA Cup final. I was like 19, 20 at the time. And none of my mates played for Geordies. And so I go on and I just remember like just being out of breath for the whole time. And then I went to extra time. And one bit that really sticks out is it was like the last minute. It was 3-2. I think Callum scored two in extra time. And we had a free kick and right on the edge of the box, and Quay gave it to me. And he was like, you can have this if you want. And I was like, right. I go, what do you want me to do? And he was like, we can have a shot if you want, but if you kick it out, the game's over. And I was like, is this some sort of cryptic question? And I was like, just tell me what you want me to do. He's like, you can have a shot if you want, but if you kick it out, the game's over. And I was like, what? So then I think I did pretty much nothing. You know, just kick it. I think the keeper picked it up. And then, so we won the game anyway. And the story Callum's referring to refers to him having a night out with the FA Cup, the actual FA Cup itself.
Right.
So, yeah, there was a big inquiry. Where is it? No one knew where it was. Meth coming looking for it. Meth coming looking down at St George's after the game because we all went to the clubhouse looking. No one's got it. No one's seen it. Yeah, no one knew what happened. And then the FA, I think Paul was losing his head trying to find where the trophy was. It all turned out right in the end, but maybe I'll tell you what actually happened when this isn't on. But, they got it back.
It's probably in the same place that your leather jacket was.
That's
still infamous leather jacket that's still not resurfaced.
Sure, quite Frank Jones.
Yeah, exactly. All right, next question is in from Agent Rashid. He says, hi guys, hope you're enjoying a brew. He's, you've got the mug there, Stu.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, he says, looking forward to the Christmas special. Yeah, we should plug that now, isn't he? He's coming in on the 19th. The annual, this is the second one he's done, isn't it? Agent Rashid Christmas special. It's going to be absolute chaos, probably.
Oh yeah, he's testing our quiz knowledge, isn't he?
Yeah.
And amongst other things.
Yeah, so we're going to do a Christmas quiz, which is going to be hosted by Agent Rashid, so it's probably going to be absolute chaos, but there you go. Listen to last week, and he says, who's the biggest character in the Corinthians dressing rooms? Good question.
There's a few different ones.
The characters for different reasons.
There's Conor Gorman loves talking about football. He's really good. He has really good knowledge of it. I think it comes from his old man being around football all his life. You know, he's a good character to have around. I think Cam Lee, just quiet. You know, he's just quiet, but he's all about the team. You know, it's all about working together with him. And he doesn't really say a lot in the change room, but when he does, I think a lot of lads do listen. And then you have people when they talk and you think, what are you talking about, Steve Whitley? And he's another character for a different reason. He gets lads laughing, and maybe he doesn't mean to sometimes. Sean Doyle is exactly the same. He's all about teamwork and getting together and just trying to stay positive all the time. So I think I have a good mix, to be fair. And they're all around the same age. We don't have any...
No.
Apart from Sam Baines, who's still in nappies. We have everyone out, they're all around the same age, they all get each other, and they're all passionate, they all care. So I have a good mix of characters, I think.
What about the combi, Stu, who's the character, what do they call it, Jack in the Box or whatever?
It all depends what squad you get. There's a few of the lads in there, you always know are going to do something that makes you just think, what's going on? We've got a young lad, Lanny, who has to leave the leave as soon as he gets in the changing room because he's got to go let his dog out for a walk. He's got to, see his dog every hour. So yeah, he's quite a good character, just so you know. You tell you go, and then you got like Phil Kelly, and now he's always doing something or other.
Got an old head like Daryl Hazlitt.
Yeah, Daryl's good in there as
well. I think we've got a genuine combi. You know, we have what a combi used to be, a load of kids. Some guys right at the top end, some guys right there, some lads just new to it.
Yeah.
And then just a little mix in between.
But we've talked about this before, and I think you are slightly different in a way that some clubs, first team and combis are separate entities. Yeah. You know, you either play with the combi or the first team, where you are doing it how I would, you know, having never played Max, what will be on 14 to 16, how it should be, that you have a combi that are aspiring to get in the first team.
Yeah.
And it's essentially a reserves, isn't it?
Well, and that's how I've been trying to use it. I've always thought, like, cause I was in the first team for Corinthians a while ago, a couple of years ago, and it's always kind of thought, you can kind of slip into this bit where you know who the same 14 going to be every week, and you've got to try and you've got to be present for the combi as well. You're not going to be like, I can see yous as well. Like, don't worry about it, I haven't forgot about yous. And you've got to push the first team on. You've got to make them think. You've got to make them at least think that if I don't do well, he's going to take my place. Even if really he's not, you know.
Yeah, but, I know what you're saying.
But
yeah,
you've got to create that illusion sometimes. But I'd like to think that this year it hasn't been an illusion. Like, say, Stewie was in the combi, I brought him in. I could have, you know, there was numerous scenarios. I could have dropped Fraser at centre back. You know, like, because I didn't, if I was just focused on the 14 players I had. But the combi's there for a reason, you know. Yeah. You're supposed to use it. And I think when we have a squad our size, and like you say, we have. Like 4-year-olds at Corinthians on a Saturday morning, all the way through to a Masters team, you've got to show that there's like you are a club, like, you know, that's what MEP's all about. That,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's built from the bottom, isn't it?
Yeah.
I do think from a combi point of view as well, there is, I just say, it's convenient that it's me, but I was breaking case of emergency under previous managers. Whereas, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was another bit of an emergency against Lexi as well, but I think other managers might have changed it around and just wouldn't even be thought of, so it's quite handy to see.
It was a big game as well. No, you know, you were playing a Laxey team that have shocked the view this season and were well into, and they're still in with a chance of a Railway Cup. So it's not, you know, as again, we're not to disrespect some of the other clubs in the Premier League, it's not as if you're going to be in for an easy ride. So fair play.
Yeah.
AJ Rashid adds, he says, did you have to think about your decision to take the job, Blaine, or were you just ready for it?
I think I was ready for it. But I found out exactly the same time as the players that Danny was leaving.
Right.
So I had there wasn't any, like, I'm thinking about going, or heads up in a couple of weeks you might be asked to take the job or something. I got home from work, and obviously we have a WhatsApp group for football, and a message just pinged through. I was in the kitchen. I was like, what? What? Thanks for the heads up, mate. And he was like, it was all very last minute from Danny. I think it was, he had to trust his gut in the end. But we had a friendly the next day. Did we? It was like a training game. We decided to do first team combi the next day, and I was on it, Steve Cohen. I was like, right, I want it. So Steve's the club secretary. I was like, I want it, so let me know. And I think something happened. There was a couple of people away, like the committee needed to get together to have a chat about it. And it was the day before the Ireland team were playing at the bowl. So we were on before the Ireland team. So Mep was down in his shirt and tie, and he came over and was like, what do you think? And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll happily do it. I want to. Obviously, I would have liked a bit more notice that it was going to happen. But yeah, I want to do it. And he was like, okay, we'll have a chat. I'll let you know. And I was like, all right, okay, I'll find out in a couple of days or whatever. Training finished, I turned around, Mep's got everyone in and just said, there you go. He didn't even tell me he was going to tell the lads. I just was stood there, like, Mep was like, I'm going to have a word with the lads. I was like, about what happened? I was like, yeah, it's fine. And then he was just like, Blaine's the manager, if anyone's got any objections.
It's a weird way to do it. He was like, if any of the players, all we want is players to be happy, so if anyone has any objections. And it's like, you're stupid.
Yeah. I was like, get married.
Yeah. And then they were like, so now you need to think of the combi manager as well. And that hasn't panned out as well yet, but there's enough people at the club to be able to do it. Like this week, probably looking at Stu will be in the first team again this week, so there you go.
Exclusive.
She'll be in the first team again. Well, this goes out after the next.
Yeah.
So this week the combi's going to need someone to take it. It'll probably fall Chris Cannell, probably. but he's happy to do it. He said he'll help out if he needs to. But
how's Chris's injury coming back? He's played a few games towards the end of last season and I'm just like I said,
I think that it's a bit more of just an attitude change for me. I'm happy to use the combi, you see, where maybe in the past it would have been, let's get Cannell in.
It was out for a long time. It's probably right that he doesn't rush it.
I'm not thinking about Cannell playing the first team until he comes to me and says, I'm ready to play the first team. He needs to get back and start loving playing footy again, you know, and getting through 90 minutes and being happy with being comfortable with how he is. Because we had a bit of a fitness session on Tuesday, didn't we? Just a little bit. We hadn't had one in a while. We had a loss, so I thought, get him out running. And he was saying he wasn't the only one saying like that hurt, you know, like he needed it. He hadn't had it in a while, but no pressure for Chris to come back. It's like, and when he comes back, he's going to be hard to stop.
Definitely. He's a great player. Steve Whitley.
Next question. Obviously, one of your many talents in the squad. Question for you, Blaine. If Corinthians get to a final this year, would you come out of retirement and start yourself in centre mid again?
Like I said before, when I said that Junior Cup story about me playing myself was one of my big regrets, or one I don't particularly remember with fond memories. But Steve is talking himself out of the final spot. In all honesty, obviously not. There's too many people at the club to be able to justify myself doing
it. You're blessed with a lot of centre mids and at the moment.
So. And it's tough to pick them, and it's hard to leave lads out, but there's five subs, isn't there? Maybe I get myself on the bench.
Speaking of Steve Whitley, the next question concerns him from Sean Doyle. And who's the laziest trainer, Steve Whitley or Steve Whitley?
I mean, there's a lot of irony in that question coming from a man who has to check the time 3 times a month to go with basketball training and he's questioning other people's attitude about training.
Steve, it's just a Rolls Royce for football, isn't he? And I think he knows it, but it's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But you say he's lazy, then on Tuesday he did just as much running as everyone else. He has that like aura about himself that he's just coasting through games, but then he'll just sprint 60 yards and you'll be like, where's that come from? You know, it's good football.
Does he practice his set pieces? Because obviously he's getting a bit of a reputation now, is it?
To be honest, no. You always see that bit where it's just we're trying to sort of a drill out, or training's just getting started, and Steve's like the 5-year-old kid down kicking balls in the goal.
Yeah.
But he's good at it. Hopefully we get a bit more organised, and when the weather's a bit more better, we'll be able to do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe when we get back up to Ballyfletcher, mm-hmm. when it gets a bit lighter and stuff like that. Because that is the technical side of the game is something that you don't get to work on a lot, because it's time intensive. You know, you need a lot of time to be able to practice technique, and it's going to take Steve coming up half an hour early or leaving half an hour late, you know, to be able to do it. But it's something that I want to do. But. Yeah.
Well, as you said, we were talking off air before about when Jack had that free kick on the edge area, he thought, oh, he's got a chance here.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of range that if Steve gets a chance, he usually puts them in, isn't it? Yeah. I think I've seen 3 or 4 now. They're always sort of curled, aren't they? He doesn't tend to put his arse through it.
He's good at set pieces. Conor Gorman's surprisingly good at free kicks as well. I always thought to myself,
he's got a cracker against Laxey. Yeah. He sort of guided it home.
It reminded me of like a Tony Cruz finish.
High praise.
Yeah, well, he had his slippers on, didn't he? He just turned the edge of the box and just walked it in. But yeah, I think we have quite a few lads that fancy themselves at a set piece. Mm. Maybe I'll do a competition or something to see who gets it.
Crossbar challenge.
Well, if they're all filmed, but
a breakdown at the end of the season, some bloopers.
And other question in from Sean. Question for you, Stu. Will you give yourself the Comedy Player of the Year award if you're still interim manager come the end of the season? Be first team player of the year at this rate.
It's interesting that Doyle has absolutely no confidence that I'll keep my place in the first team. Thanks for that, Skipper. To answer the question, absolutely, yeah. There's no point pretending. I need to get my name on there another time. So.
With the combi theme, this one's coming from Joe Middleton. He says, question for both of you, what are your thoughts on Corinthians combi season so far? It's pretty much perfect at the moment, Stu, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been good. Joe's one of the, I think he's just turned 16 recently, he's come up through the youth, and he might join us for Moncton, I might have made that up, but he's a young lad who's joined us, and I think he's scored about 5 or 6 goals himself already. He's done really well this year. So we've got a few new young players who've come up and getting more time. And there's more, I think, people who have come down from first team and playing as well that wouldn't usually happen. Sometimes, as I say, you just get straight back in. Like the other week, we had Connor Gorman for 2-3 weeks. And it just helps raise the level of the whole team when they actually come down and put the effort in. So as you say, it's gone pretty well so far. It's hard to find issues with it, really.
Although, go on.
There's always a few issues when there's people away, like, and you're scraping around on the air, you know, on the Friday trying to get a squad together, calling up past it players like Tony Eggert, see if you'll
play. And, you know, the wand. Like,
yeah. Sometimes they'll say yes, sometimes it doesn't, so it's always a bit of an issue. Yeah.
Tony Eggert, the finest left footer that never was, wasn't he?
We've got a lot of break glass in case of emergency lads signed on, haven't we, that don't play, but we're always like, we might need you this week, but it always turns out, like I said, we've got enough kids so that we haven't had to do it yet.
Can you imagine lads trying to organise a scene without WhatsApp?
I don't know how they did it.
Ringing landlines.
Or just naming your squad straight after training on a Thursday and being like, that's it. But I don't know. I can't imagine it.
Obviously, you must be pleased with the Combi's performance as well.
Yeah. The Combi, like I said before, the Combi's there to push the first team, and the Combi lads will get their chance. I'm happy to give it to them. So, like, Callum Campbell played in the first team on Saturday. He's been in the Combi all season. Like, and I'm not adverse to sending lads to the Combi either. I think the Combi League's a weird one, isn't it? Because when you're right at the top like we are, like we've been doing, like at one slip and it's probably over, you know, if Marys keep going as they keep going. So the lads have got to have the level down there of saying, I've always been a thing of, why are you turning up if you don't want to win? You know, that's always been my thing. We're here to play, you know. And if you don't want to, that's fine, but just go somewhere else and play, you know.
Yeah. One of the positives actually not having a proper Combi manager yet has been when the first team's off, Blaine's come down and just treated it.
Yeah.
He's been done the management side, so that's good for the Combi players knowing that he's going to come down, first team out playing, he'll just do it.
And watch it.
I've just been taking it, you know, because I know all the lads anyway, because I've been doing the Combi, but I'll just be like, right, I'll just do it this week, so we can concentrate on playing. And,
And Carl Cup, we have a Carl Cup team this year, you think? You've got a lot of youngsters.
Well, we have an under 18s.
And so it's 21.
Was
it down to 19
again?
It goes up and
down. I have no idea. Some lads, I remember there was a couple of lads who ended up playing it for like 5 years. Yeah. The age kept moving up and down.
Because you guys get to a Carl Cup final?
Yeah, we won it with our, when we did it, because we took the under 18s and then...
Did you, when you were playing?
No, we got to sort of Jamie Stoy, as I see his questions coming up.
Yeah.
Haunt my nightmares for about 5 years. So we got to a final of a
Cal Cup.
Yeah, we had Marys at the bowl in the Cal Cup final.
Was that the one that was shifted?
Yeah,
to the start
we played it in like August.
Yeah, Frank Jones was the, again, Frank Jones came back to haunt you that day.
But I remember just the, I won't forget, I scored an extra time and I thought I'd won it. Yeah. Shirt off, running back.
Knee slide.
10 lads.
Your August pitch. Yeah.
10 lads on top of me and I was like, this is amazing, I've won it, I've just won it. And I remember at the time, Kev Mannon was watching, he was the Ireland manager. I was like, oh, we've won it. And then somehow, Marky Priestland, all 5 foot of him, wins a header, scores a header in like the last minute and goes to penalties.
We won't mention who was supposed to be marking him.
Yeah. And then it goes to penalties, and then we had the likes of Tony Edgar and Jamie Stoy, and Jamie Stoy was like one of the best strikers in the league, scoring all the time. And when he stepped up for that penalty, I thought it's won then, isn't it? And then somehow he missed it, didn't he? Who else missed it?
Just Stoy. Worst penalty taker I've ever played with.
But yeah, no, so.
Well, that might be in retaliation to the question that's coming up from Jamie. He says, to you, Stu, he says, I heard you're great at impressions. Can we hear a few?
There's absolutely not a chance that I'm doing that.
Are they after a few pints impressions? Are they of fellow team members? Or?
No.
Just accents, you like accents, don't you?
I do a great Michael Caine, to be honest. I'm not doing that here. It's brilliant, though. I do one of Stoy's favourite jockey, which is good as well. But
who's that?
I don't think I can bring myself to do it on here.
Don't do it. Who's a jockey?
I think it's Robbie Power, I think his name is. Some Irish fella.
Right. Just likes a regional accent.
We'll get you in to do, after a few pints,
if you see Stephen again, I'll be
a
player
then. We'll record it. There's a few voiceovers for the podcast. Right, now what we got, Ian, we'll look ahead to Saturday's reduced fixture list. Only four games in both the Premier League and Division 2 this weekend. Of course, it is a rearranged week, and we're doing a bit of arithmetic for the Railway Cup. Now, by my maths, and no one's rang up to complain, St Mary's and Rushford are in the Railway Cup semi-final draw.
Yeah.
Quintage, you guys are in third at the moment. Mm-hmm. Got three games left. I think you'll need two wins. Is that what you're sort of...
Yeah. I think, like I said, I haven't been... I just defer to Mep when he tells me. So I can't figure it all out.
This year has been a nightmare because of the panel. Usually by now, there's two teams that are away.
Yeah.
We're heading, obviously, the Rise two teams in it now. But this is not going to help him getting it on in Boxing Day, is it? Because
no.
I think this is going to go all the way to the wire, Dave. I don't know about you. Especially after last week's result involving St George's, which we'll talk about in a minute. But Corinthians this week, you've got Paul Rose.
Yep.
Now, Pulley, great result for them this week. Last week, they got the first point of the season, 3-0 draw with Laxey.
Yeah.
That's probably changed the way you look at it slightly.
Yeah, because at the moment, like I said, no real experience of what's going on team-wise, but they came up anyway, so everyone's going to be the same.
Mm.
So all they really have to go on is their past results, looking in the paper, looking online. And to be fair, they keep it quite tight. You know, they're not conceding lots of goals. They're not, for a team that's bottom of the league with a point, they're not getting absolutely walloped every week. It's 3-0 here, 4-0 there. So, to be fair, I'm expecting a battle. They've got pretty much nothing to lose, have they? I don't think their expectations are really high for them. They'll just come and they'll just battle.
Well, Mets would call this, classically on the radio, a bonus point if they get anything out of this. This is a game they won't have been targeting, realistically. But Stewie, they've got Steve Priestnell, probably one of the greatest goal scorers the Isle of Man's ever produced, and it could be a busy afternoon for you, couldn't it?
Yeah, look forward to another one again. Top goal scorer, top of the league, Steve. Easing me back in.
Yeah. Is it hard though? You mentioned about it in the combi. Sometimes you don't have much to do. When Corinthians in a game like this, where you will be on the attack most of the match, is it hard not to keep switched on? Yeah.
Not in the first team, because you've got Cammy on at you constantly. Like, if you switch off, he's told you, he's pretty sharp that you're in the wrong position. So
is Quirker a vocal keeper?
Yeah, Quirker was as well, actually. Yeah, so that's helpful for when you are on top, because they just make sure you are in the right place, switched on, stuff like that. So that's decent.
Yeah. So we are confident a home win then, Blake? Well,
yeah, like I said, as long as the lads put it down, they've got a result to put behind them from the weekend. I think they've got a lot of stuff to prove to themselves that last week was a bit just a blip. You know, last week they didn't do themselves any justice, so they have to do themselves some justice this week and put a performance in. And like I said, I say to them all the time, you'll only get out what you put in. And I think that obviously we're at home, we're a good team, we're on a decent run bar last week. I do expect to win, but I'm not taking anything lightly.
Yeah.
I do think, like you say, Steedo, you're not that good by accident. You know, like, he will know where to be. He's not an old man, but he'll old man people. You know, move in, move out.
His movement has always been strong, though, hasn't it? Yeah. And we talk about Reese and Steve Whitley's movement off the ball, but Stephen was almost the godfather of that. He was at his peak, wasn't he?
Yeah,
unbelievable player. So we both going home win. I think if I had a pound, I'd be going on the Corinthians win day.
Yeah, to be honest, I think it's going to be a day of home wins in the Premier League. I'm going to say Corinthians win.
Yeah, Corinthians win. Elsewhere, St George's take on Ramsey, a team again looking to bounce back after a shock result last week, Dave.
Yeah, no one saw that one coming, did they?
No one, not even Douglas Athletic, I don't think. They obviously were beaten 1-0 at home at Fortress Glen Country Road by Douglas Athletic. Second half goal from Rio Martin Cowan. Come on, I believe, as well, substitute. So the big man.
I think it shows from the Defqa side what happens when you get rid of like the clutter, like what Drew Ward doesn't play. And, like, when you get rid of the clutter, like, what you can actually do with that club.
But yeah, they've St George's now have a bit of a ground to make up if they want to secure that fourth cup spot.
As you alluded to before, it's given Mets a bit of a headache with that, because otherwise it could have been a bit more cut and dry. But we should stress, obviously, George's were missing quite a few players last week.
Suspended, so Furo, Mally and Sean Quay were all out, missing for that match.
Now Sean's back in this weekend, isn't he? But obviously the other two are still suspended, so it'd be interesting to see what team they put out. And I still think they'll be too strong, but you know, as you say, Ramsey will have a point to prove as well.
So Ramsey trebled their goals for Colin last week. They had scored one in 450 minutes prior to Saturday. They scored two against Rushing, which is no mean feat, because Rushing are having a good season alongside yourselves, and of course are already into the Railway Cup. Can Ramsey get anything out of this, Blaine, do you think?
Ramsey, I think that was my first game in charge, was Ramsey. And they're a good team. They're well organised and they've got a lot of kids, a lot of fit kids, you know, running around. A lot of... that doesn't sound very good. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I said it again
we're
in my head.
Gloss over that, yeah. Okay.
No, I think it will be a tough game for Geordies, obviously, but I think maybe with Callum coming back, I don't know if he's going to go straight back in. I don't know if they've hit the panic button there.
I love that expression. Was it break in case of emergency? Yeah. Right? Yeah, maybe Callum was.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see how Ramsey deal with the physicality of Geordies, a really physical team.
Well, they've had to change their style slightly this year because obviously Packers left and still at Kurt Michael, as far as we were aware. Furrow's missing this week and it's sort of left to Ash Higginbotham as a leader line. He's a different player to them, isn't he? He's more a player that looks for pockets of space. He's not really one that can potentially hold the ball up, maybe. Yeah. He'll do, I'm probably doing a disservice here. He's a very good footballer, but. They've had to slightly change their game plan a little bit because at times Geordie's strength was their directness. They used to go direct quite a lot, but a bit like St Mary's did on Saturday, and I'm going to say like Liverpool did last night. But yeah, they are quite direct, aren't they, at times. So they've had to change their style of it. And I know you said they were missing a few last week, Dave, but it was still a strong team.
Still a good team, though. Yeah, obviously there are a couple of youngsters in there, Lucas James and the like. So it's tough for them, for these youngsters to come into that side, but obviously they've got other younger players there that have really bedded into that team well. Jay Skelton-Maxwell is one of the best midfielders in the league now, isn't he? Mm. Chris Bass were playing that game. So, I can't look past a Geordie's win. But speaking of youngsters, that is Dylan Pickles from Ramsey. He's a great little player as well, isn't he?
And great for a headline. So, Blaine, Geordie's win?
Geordie's win.
Stu, you're nodding in approval there.
Yeah, Geordie's win.
Geordie's win. Peel versus Douglas Royal at Douglas Road on Saturday. Again, Peel still in with a chance of Wellway Cup football and retaining the trophy they won at Ballyfletcher last Boxing Day. They need to keep winning though and hope other teams drop points, don't they?
Yeah, and again, this is a game they'll certainly be expected to win. They beat Old Boys last week, didn't they? And I think Royal though, they battled well. They got a point against Moran, didn't they?
Having been 3-0 down, I believe.
Yeah, Tom Chattler got a couple of goals, and Terry Regal, I mean, he's always a bit of a live wire.
Pacing that front line, then, isn't he?
So Royal could trouble them a bit, but I still fully expect the hosts to win this one.
Blaine, home win.
Yeah, I think it'll be a home win. It'll be interesting to see who plays at the back for Peel. I think it's been a bit up and down, who they've had, who they haven't had. And I think they do miss when they don't have, is it Luke and Dom at centre-back?
Yeah.
I think when you take one of those two out, I think it does change their team quite a bit. I think
both leaders, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really, really physical. Mm. You know, they love the challenge, up for the header, up for the tackle. And like I said, they've just got that. I think Dom really has the experience as well. He knows how to foul his way through a game, like Pep Guardiola style, tactical fouls. So I think I think they'll win the game, but I think it'll the balance of it will be on who plays at the back for Peel, I think.
Any hope for Douglas Royal, Stu? I was going to say, at this moment I asked that, I realised they are arch rivals.
Peel win.
Yeah. St Mary's versus Brown, obviously at the National Stadium at the Bowl this weekend. That's down to two, but I reckon that'll be a half two kickoff.
Probably will, but we haven't heard otherwise yet.
Yeah, well, maybe turn up early, enjoy the sights. There's always the power station to look at. St Mary's versus Brown. This looks like it could be a long afternoon for Dave Bruceman.
Certainly could. It's just looking ominously good for St Mary's this year, isn't it? They just keep marching on. Moran though, as we talked about that point against Royal, got some good young players in that squad as well, but it's a big pitch down there and St Mary's play to their strengths, don't they?
Moran keeper Nick Cole, the former mountain biking champion, I believe played very well last week's game, so
he
could be in for a long afternoon though, especially on the width. Does that make a big difference, Blaine, when you go down the bowl, the width of talks about it. Is it a psychological thing as well?
Yeah, I think that's mainly part. I think that's a big part of it. I think Ballyfletcher is. I think we've done it so it's the same size as the bowl.
And then people would never say, "Oh, that's the same width."
Yeah, we've done the same width. But I think, like you say, I think it just looks bigger. Because it's so open and the seats come back. I think you go on there and you think big pitch today. Yeah. But like you say, we're used to, like Corinthians are used to it.
It's a place to your strength that you have strong direct wingers that will lap that extra space. But
when it comes to teams, and obviously Mary's play on it every other week, but when it comes to teams like Moran who play down on their pitch and then they're going around to similarly small pitches, like, I don't know, did they play Royals last week, did they?
Royals
pitch is small as well, and their pitch is small. So when you go from that and then to this one where everyone's got about 10 yards of extra space, I think it does make the difference.
Stu, Moran, any hope for them, or is it going to be
no?
Short and sweet.
I'm loving the concise punditry from Stu today. JCK Division 2, Amazon Prime will be snapping you up, mate. You're better than Ali McCoy's today. JCK Division 2, Foxtel versus Onken, the big game in the second tier this week. The game that Paul Hatton will be bringing his multimedia circus to, Dave. What do you think? This is going to be a tough one for Onken, really.
I think it's going to be tough for both, but obviously Foxtel on the receiving end of that heavy defeat last week to Ayres. So
a lot of bounce back ability about this week, isn't it?
You love that word, Ian Dowie.
Yeah, give him 50p every time he uses it.
Obviously Foxtel will be chomping at the bit to bounce back from that. Onken, they had a pretty comfortable 9-1 win over Governors last week.
Comfortable. You're the king of the understatement.
I am. You know, and you got Barry English and Dale Walker in form there, so I think I'm going to probably go into it as slight favourites. I have to say, the weather isn't exactly looking great, so it might not go ahead. If it does, it'll be close, and I reckon Onken will just about sneak it.
But you probably won't have seen much of JCK Division 2.
I haven't, so I don't really. I just have to defer to the league table, I guess. And it's pretty much, when it comes to form, it's pretty much, it doesn't lie, does it? So I would go for Onken, because I heard, obviously I speak to Adam Watson, and did St John's play them recently, and he said it was a
5-2, 5-3.
But he said it was a tough game. So he said they're a decent side. So Onken win.
You could throw a tablecloth over the top of that Division 2 though.
Three sides on 24 points.
Onken have got Nige Moody up front as well, don't they, these days? So they're going to score.
Right.
I think this will be battered St John's, didn't they, when they play?
If you're listening, Adam. there's not much between these sort of teams. It screams to me this is going to be a classic Division 2 scoreline of 6-4 or something like this, isn't it? Stu, you're looking into your punditry eyes here. What are you going to go for?
I'm going to Onken.
Onken?
Nige Moody winner.
Mighty O's, if indeed it does go ahead, because it is raining now, and Billy Moat is probably already up to the brim already. United versus Adam Watson's old club, St John's. We believe Callum Taggart has taken over the role.
Another podcast guest,
earlier this season. United are the boys to beat at the moment, though, aren't they, Dave?
Yeah, obviously that great result we just mentioned against Foxtale. They're a free scoring form, as Hattie pointed out in his excellent article this week. They've scored 20 goals in the last three games. Your man Dean Tate is on fine form, so they'll be favourites. But St John's, I mean, they're a really good side and they're going well this season. They just need to keep in touch because they've got a game in hand and they don't want to fall adrift at all. But I think I'm going to call a draw on this one.
Oof, on the Dave Norton Memorial fence. Blake.
I think one thing always have in their favour is the commute. I don't think anyone looks forward to air away,
even Ramsey.
But especially lads down in St John's, I think Wattle's left him in decent shape. He is a good coach for all the battering we've given him. He is a good coach, and I think he's left him in decent hands. But I think player for player, I think Ayr have signed a lot of decent players that probably should be playing in the first division. And I think when it comes down to it, I think that'll probably be the deciding factor. I think man for man, they're probably a bit better. Sorry, Wattle, and anyone from St John's. But I think it's an air win.
Popular down there.
Stu, air win, or can you see any light for Wattle?
I'm going to go with St John's. Stick my neck out for Wattle. He's very confident about St John's, and every time he speaks to us, he's very confident they'll get promoted, they'll win games. So I'm just going to believe him. Say St John's. If it's wrong, it's his fault.
I'm going to go with Blaine. I think a home win in this one. It'll, on my old club, St John's, those two substitute goalkeeper appearances for St John's 14-16. Did I ever tell you about my career there, Dave?
No, you haven't. But
no, we talked about yours, because obviously you played with Mark Cavendish in the Lexi Stiffs, didn't you?
But trained.
I had a 2 or 3 game spell with St John's 14-16. We were getting beaten 9-0 by old boys.
Don't tell me you came on and worked out.
No, the goal. So I was still goalkeeper then, I said, any chance of getting on centre half? You know, we're 9-0 down. And the manager, no word of a lie, turned to me and went, no, goalkeeper's playing well. So, never after that.
It was a sub goalkeeper in the 16s.
Yeah. A bit like your combi now. Right, Michael United versus Colby. Now, we've the big news, obviously, Callum has left the parish, as it were. But Colby should win this anyway, shouldn't he? Even if he was playing.
Yeah, you know, Kieran McNulty's banging the goals in for Michael. He got two last weekend in their 4-4 draw with Youth. He shows you Michael can get a result. Colby, they've stuttered slightly a little in recent weeks. They had a 1-1 draw with St John's last week, which you have to view it as a positive result. Yeah, Colby should be favourites, but I'm going to sit on the fence again.
Of course you are.
Another draw. Best league in Europe.
Blaine?
I have no idea about either of these teams, with all the greatest
have
respect.
Have you played Michael before? The Blenheim Road, with the wind whips off?
Yeah, and the little trail you have to take up to it again. So maybe I'll go for the commute.
Colby. Yeah. All the way up the Malham Order.
But I think I've seen a couple of things, a couple of results. Colby scoring a lot of goals. I think
Carl Hickey is the man. Yeah. Silver boot leader at the moment.
So I was interested to see what would happen at Michael when they signed all these players. You know, they had Hurtie and Callan and
Johnny Holland.
Yeah. I was interested to see what happened, but it's kind of like the
experiment is maybe not fared so well, has it?
It's kind of like Everton, isn't it?
Yeah.
Half to an Everton fan. Yeah.
Half a billion quid in 3 years, that hasn't quite worked out. I'll go with Colby, I guess.
So he's telling that Kieran Minotti's the Richarlison?
No comment.
And Stu? Corinthians obviously famously hate Colby.
I didn't really want to say that.
I didn't even think about that.
I didn't really want to say that I hated Colby, so I'm not going to pick them, but yeah, draw.
where did that rivalry come from?
I think it was something to do with when we were about 15 years ago or something, wasn't it? I think we were both going out to try and get out of the second division, and then I think something happened.
I think they won a cup final against them.
Right.
And then during the celebrations, the song just started and it's never left.
Now we blindly sing it, not knowing why.
It's a bit like Brighton and Crystal Palace rivals, isn't it? You know, there's like miles between them.
I'd like to believe that people at Colby haven't got a clue what's going on.
I don't know why people hate
that. It's got to that point in Crimpins now where there's a generation of players not knowing why as well. So
they haven't just played Colby.
Yeah, that's it. It's just the way it is. Why do we hate them? I don't know, just do it, keep singing it.
The final game of JCK Division 2 this week seeks Ramsey Youth Centre to take on Jims. Dave, obviously you said Youth dropped points against Michael. That's disparaging to Michael. Obviously they drew with 4-4 with Michael in a very direct JCK Division 2 result. That Jims, are they bottom now? I'm just looking over there.
They're second bottom.
Yeah. Level on points with bottom side, goodness.
Yeah.
Can they get anything out of this?
Possibly, but with
possibly.
There's always a chance.
Off the fence, Dave.
Yeah. No. I've got to go with the Youthy win in this one. They've fallen behind a little bit in the table. They can't afford to drop any more points. I mean, they start the season well, but they've just tailed off in recent weeks. They've had some bad results, and so they're already 8 points off the top, and are 6 points off the top four. So, you know, they can't afford any margin for error now. So I'm gonna go with the home win.
Youthy win, Blaine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Even less confident.
Honestly, no idea about either of those teams.
Yeah. Jims, though, used to be a force, you know, former Grand Slam winners. You know, Mark Connett, one of your old teammates. Yeah.
I used to hate playing down at Jims.
The pitch,
as well.
Yeah.
Hated the change rooms, hated the pitch.
Really? Quarter showers.
But they've done a lot of work on their pitch the last few years, haven't they? Down there.
Yeah. And so it's not used to be. Now we'd be calling it off back in the old days when we say there's been even in August there'd be a chance to get off the gyms. But you know, they have done a lot of work. The changing rooms, it changed. They move between the ones that are the pitch.
I think the last time I was there it was at the cricket pitch. When it was in
psychological minute games, because they took Geordies all the way in the cup last year down there, didn't they? They probably made some change at Glencrutch Road and walked down the road. You know, but there you go. Right, Dave, Combi Corner.
Your favourite time of the week, mate.
Was it much on last week? I can't remember.
Yeah, there was a few postponements. We had two postponements in the in Combi 1, and we had one walkover in Combi 2. But one of those postponements was unfortunately the eagerly anticipated top of the table clash between Corinthians and St Mary's. But that allowed Rushen to close the gap slightly as they thrashed Ramsey 7-1 at Ballaclone. Amongst the scorers there, you had Hayden McLarney with two, Andrew Moody, Dan Shuttleworth, Ryan Denham, David Barron, and I can't pronounce this, so I do apologise, Adedajai Johnson. And then netting for Ramsey was Jabrani Moutique.
So you see Ryan Denham's name there. Swell that play. Well,
yeah. Yeah, so obviously...
Breaking case of emergency, you're right there.
Oh, they're everywhere now. that result was matched by Douglas Royal away at Moran, 7-1 there. So James Clark and Sam Dooley got braces and were joined on the score sheet by Andrew Lancaster, Gonzalo Campo and Kevin Ballard.
I've heard Skippy's goal on that goal was very game was very good.
Yeah.
Keeper ran out of the way of it, apparently. He hit that hard.
Noah Dale Beaton scored for Moran. And Geordie's moved back into the top four, courtesy of a hard-fought 2-1 victory away at Douglas Athletic. Mark Hargreaves scored for the Pinks, but Jordan Corkish got a brace for Geordie's.
Corkish sparing a few in for the Geordies this season, isn't he?
He is. And then in Combi 2, Youth have continued their seemingly irrepressible march to the title. They notched up their 12th successive win, this time with a narrow 1-0 success at home to Michael, courtesy of Joe Neal's goal. Bradley Lovely broke Jims into third after beating the Tramode side 5-2. Josh Brew grabbed two. John McMullen, Liam Patton, Jamie Spicer also scored for them there. Oncombe claimed the Derby bragging rights. Obviously, we mentioned their first team before, but the Combi won 6-1. You had Owen Stewart bag the hat-trick. Rob Byrne got two and Billy Coulter also scored. Ayr were the biggest winners of the day with a 9-0 thrashing of Foxdale at Billy Goat Park, which keeps them sixth. One place ahead of Union Mills, who had a high-scoring win of their own, 7-4 against Mullough.
Who scored for Ayr, Dave? You know I want to hear it. Best name in Manx football.
It is. Deacon Lombard Chibnall with two.
And in all their fit and Cummins, the old Ramsey fly half.
Yeah, he got two. James Bookeris, Ryan Tier, Nick White in the Combi. Right. Harry Reid and Kieran Salvat.
Flirted with Corinthians in the summer, believe you? Yeah,
and then left and didn't say a word. So.
And it dropped the division? You must have done. I don't know what you did to him.
I don't know. I had no idea.
Yeah. For the Millers, Jackson Gatt led the way with a hat-trick.
That's a good name. Jackson Gatt.
Yeah.
P.I.
And Michael Shimmer and Kieran McCaffrey both got braces for Maloo.
Right. Now, the all-important, we're looking out the window, it's absolutely tipping down.
Yeah, it's not looking promising.
Dave reads the weather.
The rain is expected to carry on into tonight. It will become heavier tomorrow. But it will dry off towards the end of the day, and Saturday seems okay so far until rain in the evening. But it will be strong. There'll be strong winds.
Strong winds. Oh, that's so, be nice up for you, about 12 30, lads. Postponements. We how many again?
There'll be a few, but I think we'll still get a few games going ahead.
Again, Vegas always love it. Dave. Love it.
That's my mantra in life. So.
Right, lads. Thanks so much for coming in. Hope you've enjoyed it, and for bringing in the tea cakes, which is amazing. Yeah. good luck for Saturday. Good luck for the rest of the season, Stu. Good luck with the job.
Thank you. Hopefully, other people keep doing it.
We'll have to get you in Junior Cup time because I'm sure you'll still be in charge then. Right, that's about it for this week, Dave. Only two to go until the end of the year. We've got the Christmas special, we should say, 2 weeks' time. We'll have to find someone for next week now, won't we?
Yeah, we'll see if anyone will take us.
Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.